This podcast was initially recorded on the 3rd of February 2020 and released on SoundCloud on the 27th of February 2020. All competition entries for this podcast are now closed.
Before we begin playback, a note of warning from the Archivists' Council of Gallifrey. Unfortunately, the first section of this podcast, noted as The Day Before Tomorrow, was unfortunately lost due to a freak time storm in the Archives of Gallifrey. Efforts have been made to try and retrieve the footage, however, all attempts have been unsuccessful. As such, only the second part, The Day After Yesterday, remains in its entirety, and as such, we present that to you as best as we can. We apologize for any inconvenience. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good night, and good whatever time it is, wherever the hell you are. You are listening to Terror of the Tweeters, and just a bit of a forewarning. This is going to be a slightly shorter one, because with regards to it, I had inadvertently forgotten to tell my guest to actually record his end, so we only have one section for this podcast and everything, which I just hold up complete responsibility. I should have told him, so I do absolutely apologize, but that means you don't have to listen to us not just
all of the talk. Unstructured ramble has been lost to time.
Hey, I was about to say what we recorded was bollocks, so it's not as if there was quite a few slanderous things in there. It's best left to the ether,
yes indeedy. With regards to it, basically, we've lost our before bit and everything. I might put up mine and Matt's ones, I might not,
it'll be very weird listening.
Yeah, and to be fair, something majorly wrong did happen and everything, so, yeah, I think we're just gonna leave it, just accept fate on this one and everything, and we just have more Sharda allusions to it and everything with regards to it.
The unfinished Terror of the Tweeters. Strike action has forced us out. We're on the streets.
Oh, indeed. But yes, so with regards to that, we're basically taking everything that was going to be the prelude to Ascension of the Cybermen, which is episode 9, which is what we're doing and everything, and we're basically just going to talk about now just, we finished watching the episode and everything, so it's just going to be a natter with regards to that. I'll put a link to all of the tiny little other things that we discussed in the description and everything, because that's going to be a fun description.
Previously.
We talked about a lot of stuff, and we didn't record it properly. So, here's all the stuff we talked about.
Previously,
there was silence, and then one of us laughed. And then more silence.
Previously on this podcast, we discussed what would happen in Ascension of the Cybermen, and how we weren't big fans of the series so far.
And we were
but
all wrong.
That is about to change. Let's kick it off.
Can we have you every week?
I love the Don LaFontaine impression. That's brilliant. With regards to that then, just to do this again, I say again, this is the first time you've heard it. We did this all last week.
We'll intro you again, Chris.
Yes, we are going to intro this again. As always, I'm John. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Matt.
Hello.
And joining us this week is voice actor, impressionist, and voice artist connoisseur extraordinaire, Chris Walker-Thompson.
Hello.
With his normal voice. Yes.
Okay, so just going...
Thank you for such a lovely introduction. It'll be on my epitaph, along with the Jenna Coleman issue.
Don't put a cardboard cutout next to his senator.
Oh, God. Okay,
can you imagine that? It would be a really bad thing next to my grave, wouldn't it? It would just be a cardboard cutout, slowly aging with the dampness of the weather, of Jenna Coleman smiling next to my grave. It would be the ultimate... Yeah.
Get one cremated closure with you.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, God.
I'd cremate. I'd happily cremate the cutout. Cremate the cutout. I think that might send the wrong message.
Yeah, you get buried, and then in the room next door, with a crab or cutout being burned.
Someone just spread the remains over my grave, just to as a final fuck
and then,
you. Yeah,
and then both of you turn up in the Nethersphere. And then both of you turn up to in the Nethersphere to get traumatized by Chris Addison.
Ah, we're off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's making me feel a whole lot better. So for those of you who don't know, Rotrock, who Chris is, Rotrock have you been living under? But Chris, as I said, is a voice actor, narrator, impressionist, everything. He has done quite a lot over the last couple of years. The main thing you may know him from is his set of fan audios, Doctor Who The Forgotten Adventures, where he performs one of the best, if not the absolute best, Patrick Troughton impersonation ever, sometimes even putting Fraser Hines to shame. But again, Fraser's good.
Oh, thank you very much.
But that's not a jab on Fraser. Fraser's good. But it's just that it's just you just
nailed. Yes, we love you, Fraser. We love you. Please
please don't kill us. Don't
return
us.
My calls. Please return my calls, Fraser. I'm very sorry.
he is shown there also, he is a noted impressionist. He has performed three Doctors at the very least. There's Patrick Troughton. He also does Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi. And as such...
Hello!
Indeedy! And as such, has taken part in other fan audios for multi-Doctor stories and everything, which you can find all across the YouTubes. And as well, he is also a noted voice actor in his own right, having very recently appeared in the fantastic Doctor Who comic strip adaptations for Big Finish in the second one, The Star Beast, as Zreeg. The name which I remembered this time.
Zreeg, yeah. Zreeg, the counsellor, a unit lieutenant, and I think a load of Warath war cries.
So that bit at the end when they say all of the parts played by members of the cast, they just get whoever else is around to do the background voices.
It's pretty much it. Yeah. Chris, you could do this. All right, okay. Yeah.
We've got you hanging all of the parts... around.
All of the parts played by Chris Thompson.
Chris Thompson.
And he is also a very aspiring audiobook narrator. His first one, The Right of Wands, originally written by Mackenzie Floor, is out now. And as was mentioned when we tried to do the original part, a sequel is coming out that you are set to record very soon.
Yes, The Right of Abnegation, which is... coming out. It's actually been, the book's been released in April. Huh? It's now available for pre-order. And the audiobook I'm recording this very week. Ooh. So in about a few days' time.
Lovely. And then one other thing of note, he also appears on several other podcasts, not just ours, mainly the Bad Wolf podcast as a guest host, and also as part of the Impressionist troupe We Sound Familiar.
Yeah.
Which, as I mentioned, I'm finally going to be able to see on the day before Big Finish Day this time and everything, as I'm going early. I'm going early to avoid all the preamble.
That depends if we're going. I don't know if we have yet. We haven't been invited back yet, but we'll see.
I will hound Steve and Nick and Benji to make sure that you do. They know.
There are only two guests announced so far. It's only Paul, and now Louise Jameson's been announced.
Yes, and hopefully she'll actually be able to make it to this one, because she was actually scheduled for one of the earlier ones, work commitments and everything. But if I manage to actually get to meet the majestic queen that she is and everything, I'll just be happy, happy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've listened to a lot more Gallifrey as well recently, so I'm looking forward to meeting her. Asking questions that she won't know the answers to.
Do you know, I've not actually listened to much of that.
Oh,
I've been doing a marathon of the Eighth Doctor stuff. I've been listening to like the first, you know, the ones that were on prior to Zagreus, which are all on Spotify, so you can listen to them for free. Mm. I've gone through the Divergent one now. I'm now on to Kerry's last one.
Ah.
But, yeah. So the... listening to Zagreus, I was like, okay, I can see where Gallifrey spawned from.
Yeah.
Because that was the first sort of uniting of Lala and...
Louise.
and Louise, thank you. Yeah, I need to give them a go. Yeah. I've heard very
Gallifrey
good things
is
about
my
them.
Favorite Big Finish range.
Mm.
So yeah.
And with regards to it, I'm currently trying to get through Volume 3 of the Time War Saga for Gallifrey and everything, as it's just been released, and you know what, I'm just going to go and review it for Long Tour and everything. I've already done the previous two, I might as well go and do this.
Is the second one, they got Terence Hardiman?
Yes, the second one
as,
had...
As Rassilon.
Yes, they did.
A good, yeah, that looks like a good cast.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely brilliant and everything. And although there was a little bit of it that cried, yeah, we couldn't really get Timothy Dalton and everything.
Timothy Dalton.
But we got you, the Demon Headmaster. It's just like, yep, I will most definitely accept that.
Oh, that would do nicely, I think, yes.
But actually, funny story about that. A tweet that I had made when they announced that Terence Hardiman got into that and everything, that got quoted up on the Metro UK website, the Metro newspaper website. I remember that. It's just someone pointed that out to me. I don't know whether it was you, Matt, or anything, but it's just that came up and it's just like, I think I made the big time then or something. Well, at least it's the Metro and it's not the other ones.
Mm. All the other ones losing
yes,
money.
All... Yes, good.
So anyway, Ascension of the Cybermen, the episode has aired. We will get on to the review part now. So, did we enjoy it, chaps?
I really did.
So are you turning around on this series now?
Not on the series. I think the series is dire. It was gripping from beginning to end. Mm. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, what? They've got about 10 minutes to their wrap up.
Well, that was it. Yeah, I was watching it and enjoying it, but it felt very much like a part one. It felt a lot like they were ambling until they needed to get to a cliffhanger.
That's what it did. It did feel like it was an enjoyable part one, but it was you knew it was going to end on a cliffhanger. You were like, oh, for fuck's sake,
who's going to come through that portal?
That was a nice little surprise. Yeah. I didn't expect that so soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a nice little return.
Yeah, and with regards to it, it basically proved what we've all found out over the last week and everything, which was the true identity of Barak Stemmis.
There he is. It's Barak Stemmis. The purple boy has returned.
I know.
The master is back, didn't you say?
Yes, and yes. I can just tell that Dom is just squeeing right now. Just seeing
Dom's put his purple costume back on.
I'm glad to see him back because he's one of the series' strengths. Casting Sacha Dhawan was a stroke of genius. His master was more the master in the space of that first 10 minutes of Spyfall, that ending 10 minutes of Spyfall, than Michelle Gomez or John Sim managed in their entire career. It was superb, and I suspected he was coming back anyway. Mm. I felt like that you don't just open with the master and then go set up a series arc and then just go right, we're not going to do any more with him.
Mm. No, well that's it. And getting someone like Sasha to play him, you're gonna be able to keep him around for a while. You're not going to immediately send him away and regenerate that.
Mm. No.
Okay, I think the reaction as well to him has been overwhelmingly popular. People have loved seeing that master.
Yeah, I thought it was great, wasn't it? It wasn't. I think Michelle Gomez is an acquired taste.
I certainly like her.
I like her when she, and the more she went on, I was quite happy with the whole. The arc of redemption of the master and Missy turning it around. I thought, you know, and then it ended with John Sim killing her and her killing him, and it was like the ultimate sort of, that's the master's end. I was happy for the master to just be retired and gone. Mm. I was happy that would be the master's end. We wouldn't have to deal with him anymore because what else couldn't he do with him? And then they decided to bring him back. But amazing. So immediately I was like, oh, I don't know, because that undermines the whole happiness, that the feeling I felt when he.
But because he was so good as the master.
But because he was so good, he made me wish that Missy never happened.
Oh, blimey.
He made me wish they never. He made me wish that whole arc never happened.
Just to keep getting a master like that.
Just because we finally got a new series master that was worth being a classic master. None of them have quite managed that. John Sim only was good in his last in his last sudden reappearance.
Yeah, John Sim was good in series 10. I really don't care for him in series 4 or series 3 and the specials. No. And Jack would be on screen for about 30 seconds. He was nice for the 30 seconds, but he was there. He's been great in the big finish.
30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I
and then
mean,
Michelle Gomez. I do like a bit of Missy, I do. But I think me and John said this in the first episode of this podcast. As much as we all loved that redemption arc, in the back of our minds we were going, but they're not going to stop using the master. They're going to undo it. So why bother doing it for good? Because the next showrunner is going to come along and change it.
Well, I mean, with regards to this, we had mentioned that there were a myriad of ways whereby you could actually do it and not undermine the redemption arc. I mean, you could either have this master being a previous one, or even if it is a brand new one, the speech that he goes on at the end of learning the truth, that could have when what have snapped him back and everything.
Yeah, but that's a good angle. Whatever happened, the truth he found out has made him go. Turned him back to his old ways, which makes sense, and it would be a nice sort of thing. But it does sort of make you wish that redemption arc didn't happen, just because then we could get a master that we actually really, 100% straight from the off.
Keep the master going without feeling like they're betraying something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was nice to see him come back. But not as for the Sidemen, I thought the Ascension of the Sidemen, I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Right from the off, it just felt it was weird to see the Doctor so angry throughout the. That's the one thing about Jodie Whittaker this series I've not particularly been sure of, is that although in the first couple of episodes facing the Master sort of cemented her as a Doctor in a way, her performance for the rest of it was very sort of, she's either one or the other. There's no development or anything. She's either this pissy person who's like. Who's elusive, or then she's just wacky and silly, and there was no transition, there's no balance to it like David Tennant used to do or Capaldi did, I don't know, but I don't think the Doctor was that likable in this episode.
No, and I think this is the Doctor that I've been wanting Jodie's to become, because as much as the first series was nice to have a change from the angry to the warmer, the more affable Doctor, seeing that character develop into an angry grump and shouting at her companions to go and hide, I really wanted to see more of that Doctor from this series. And as you've said, there have been elements of it, but she's not bouncing between the two. And it's very much, it seems to be on the whim of the director and on the whim of the writer, which is a shame. I think there is a lot of potential for Jodie Whittaker. And as much as I am enjoying watching her performance, there's nothing there to analyse.
So, I mean, the best character development we got there, as we proved in this episode, was Graham. The confidence in him has grown, and he took charge, really, in the end.
He got some flirting today.
Maybe is that his exit story, I wonder?
Oh, he goes...
He decides to settle down with Julie Graham.
Could potentially, and I would purchase the hell out of that if Big Finish would.
Yeah, give them a spin-off series.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Finish will spin off anything. They'll spin off anything that isn't Peladon, and I will argue till I die. I want Peladon to be made. It'll be a Game of Thrones meets House of Cards and Ice Warriors. Oh. Yeah. Brian Hale's vision. Oh, God, it's a winner in
my book.
Bring
David Troughton
and
back
I don't
as
care
well.
What anyone...
I'm just.
Have they done one companion chronicle of it?
Yes, they did.
I think they've done a couple of.
They did a companion chronicle, and then I think they also did a kind of sequel that was the departure story for Erenum. Egyptian queen that traveled with Perry and everything, who I've only heard the first couple of stories from her and everything, but she is just absolutely magnificent. She is just someone who takes absolutely no shit, and I love it.
Yeah, I felt that quite, because I just listened to it because it was a Peladon story. And then you've got someone doing their best impression of Alpha Centauri, which is amazing. and I had no context.
Thank you, I can sleep, but you're still a traitor. Oh, I don't know. The Galactic Federation would not approve of this action. It's another voice
quick,
to add.
Quick, quick send it to Nick Briggs.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Okay.
I do really odd ones. I used to do like there was old Cybermen one. Excellent. Also the Cyber. One of the ones I do love is the Cyber Planner from The Invasion, which has a very strange voice throughout.
It's like you're wobbling your lips in front of you to do that one properly.
It is very
bad. Oh, yeah.
The Cyber Megatron one will be delivered.
Yeah, because I remember the ones that were in the wheel in space, that you know our ways, you must be destroyed and everything.
You know our ways.
And I'm just there thinking,
be destroyed.
Yeah, because I had seen those episodes first before The Invasion, and I thought that just sounded the weirdest, and then came the Cyber Planet, and I just went, okay, no, that's just taking weirdness to a whole new level.
But then the Cybermen in the Invasion are fucking awful. He says, okay, you understand your instructions, and they go, Russ. That's their voice. Is this really high pitched?
Yes.
Russ.
Oh god,
it's like Stitch. It's like Stitch from Lilo and Stitch.
That's what I was about to say.
You're a bit deluded. A Hammerman's family.
The Cybermen voices in this were good. They were very 2006. The backup Cybermen behind whatever the lone Cyberman's called. Ashad, was he?
Yes.
Ashad.
So I
forgot that's his name.
Yeah, I forgot his name as well. But him as a villain for the past story for this one. Top tier villain there.
Oh yeah.
Oh god, yeah. He's up there with David Banks in my opinion.
Yeah.
Not necessarily as good as David Banks.
Oh yeah.
But David Banks was just a very theatrical actor in a mask.
Well, yeah.
It was like on from Omega. So he's just there in the mask going, "You will do as I say." But this one you actually see the human in him, sort of. It's just frightening. It looks Borg-like. It's
And I mean, with regards to it, just one scene I have to bring out in particular and everything, because it just came the hell out of nowhere, was they have the Cybermen waking up and everything, and Ashad discovers them and everything, and you're just thinking, oh, this is the point where he's literally going to take control of them and start stomping down and everything. And then he literally rips one open!
Yeah, that was... Then there was that line, wasn't there, that said, "We have a Cyberman who makes other Cybermen scream."
Yeah, and I'm just there thinking, "Oh my god!" Which is the
most chilling line.
It's just, he admitted that he was a willing conversion, wasn't he? So yeah. I wonder if maybe a bit like Yvonne Hartman in series 2, he's kept his personality being converted, and he's reveling in being this angry cyborg and loving every moment.
Yeah. Because, I mean, with regards to it, the note that I just have down here, that is how you make me feel sorry for a Cyberman. I mean, with regards to it, that is literally the only way, and it is perfectly done, and it is downright terrifying. Because it's something that literally just comes out of nowhere.
I know. What do we think of the new cyber design, then? Because we got another new
one. I love it.
I like the helmet. I don't care for the body. I think the body's a bit too narrow. And I don't particularly like the chest piece. It looks a bit Iron Man. A bit 2013.
Yeah.
But I love the helmet.
I think, to be fair, not to sound, anti-misogynistic, but I just kept looking at the face. I didn't really judge the rest of it. I just looked at it. I respect Cybermen's bodies, right? Okay.
Another unrealistic figure.
Please look in the eyes. Okay.
My teardrops are up here.
You know, That's the reason why they have teardrops. It's because you're always judging their bodies.
Faceplate is up here, you know, asshole.
It's like when Michael Kilgariff returned as the cyber controller, and he's just this fat cyber controller on the attack of the Cybermen. You know, and everyone's like, you know, that's the reason where these teardrops come from. It's just they feel objectified. It's not right, guys. It's sort it out.
Sleek and sexy Cybermen.
Well, I mean, with the girls.
But no, I really like the designs. I think the faces look really good.
Yeah, I do like the helmet.
So good about it. They've got a sort of, you know, they have a sort of. It's more creepy that they just look sort of more blank and sort of smiley, and then just. Because I remember like watching. I think this one of the scariest things I've done in the new series with the Cybermen was pretty of an underrated moment. It's in I think it's Age of Steel. Is where Mickey jumps over the fence and then just looks back, and it's just a shot of all the Cybermen on the other side of the fence just staring. Mm. And I was like,
chills.
See, that's when it works, having sort of human faces to it, because humans are, from evolutionary standpoint, grown to recognise human faces in things. And so having that, it works probably a bit better than the Daleks, because you see that and you think, well, that's a person, but it's going to try and kill me. And there's loads of them. They're all blankly staring at me.
Yeah, so with regards to it, the Cybermen were actually properly brilliantly done. With regards to it, what did you think of the flying shooty heads?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, that was silly.
I loved it. I mean,
to be fair,
goes
was,
against
I thought
the idea.
I thought, I sort of rolled my eyes. I went, yeah, they'd do that, wouldn't they?
It goes against the idea of them. It's a bit like the drone one in Rise of the Cybermen, that robot empty shell that attacked Mickey on the airship. Kind of goes against the idea of them being a person inside there, but I like it. Maybe there is just a human head inside each of them flying around.
Maybe they ransacked the final resting
people.
Maybe they ransacked the Headless Monks area.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The Cybermen couldn't shoot for toffee. They were having some proper stormtrooper aim going on. Every main character. Yeah. I don't think anybody was shot by a Cyberman in this, were they? The spaceships were shot.
No, they were killed. They were killed by nearby explosions, weren't they?
Yeah, there was loads of. Cybermen shooting their feet, and then it's like Power Rangers. All the explosions happen 50 feet behind them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of them.
And then one explosion catches.
Yeah, I mean, one of them who was hiding behind it and everything got caught by an explosion that was literally Assad shooting straight at them and everything. So I don't know if that counted or not.
No, and they even brought back the big cyber guns for those cyber swans, his guards, his henchmen or whatever. And they're missing everything. But of course, Ryan will be able to pick up that gun and shoot something properly in the next episode. Have all Cybermen got dyspraxia?
Don't know. To be fair, I think someone said they were speculating, obviously, that Ryan's going to be converted. And I thought, you know, it might actually sort out his dyspraxia. you think about it, the leaflet for being a Cyberman's not too bad. Yeah. They sort out every form of your ailments. You get 20/20 vision again, and you in a slimmer suit, you can fit into a slim body thing. You know, it's
get the body
win-win,
of your
really.
Dreams.
I can see why Cyberman happen. It'll be the and.
I want to write an episode.
No wonder why
somebody
you opted
to
for
write
it.
An episode now where it's a good thing being converted into a Cyberman. Instead of all the body horror, there's people going, well, of course this is a good thing. We want to actually upgrade ourselves. Instead of upgrading because the planet's dead or the spaceship's dead and they're full of engine fumes or whatever, have it be a good thing.
Do you know what? Everyone's getting it. Everyone's getting the upgrade.
Yeah.
Look, there's Jeff over there. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, with regards to that, yeah, you could make that work as it just be a piss take of, you know, all the modern trends and all of that and everything. Mm-hmm. Even though that was kind of done with Rise of the Cybermen and everything, but as the world that we've lived in and as such, the trends that we've had and everything have evolved since then. you would be able to do that again with something like that. So yeah, that would actually be a good idea.
Do it like Years and Years did it, where they had Lydia West admitting that she was transhuman.
Yeah, and she turns her hand into a phone and augments herself with technology.
Camera eyes.
Yeah.
I think people are stupid enough to go down that route. I don't think cyber conversion needs to be forced. It's just an option. And then people go, yeah, what? You know, we might as well. It's a trend. Yeah. It's going. It's, you know, who isn't getting it done? You're weird if you're not getting converted.
Need some big stompy shoes.
Well, I mean, with regards to it, one or two last other things I'm just going to go on about the Cybermen before we get into the other major stuff that's happening in the episode and everything. Just with regards to it, I know that you said that you're not a real big fan of the 2003 Cybermen and everything. But one thing I like with regards to what they've done with them in this episode, all the controls and just the stylings and everything, that looks like it's actually been modelled off of the way that they're designed and everything. And I know you don't like the design, but I like that they've sort of made that aesthetic into what they've worked around. Like the control things that we all thought were conversion. Chambers and everything.
They're just a spaceship flying.
Yeah, but
it looks better than the old Cybermen one, which was just a small little triangle table.
See, that's almost what I was hoping for. I was hoping that these Cyber Wars were going to be the ones from Revenge of the Cybermen, and we were going to see those rubber suits come out again.
Yeah, and also they had the I think it was in Good Man Goes to War, when he blows up the cyber ships, they're actually the same sort of design as the ones from Invasion and things, aren't they? It was none of them.
I don't think they said what time period they were in, whether they said far future and it's last of the humanity, but they didn't say when, I don't think.
But one other thing, which is just more a design aspect rather than anything with regards to the plot, that opening narration with Ashad and everything, which I just, for whatever reason, I thought was actually really well done and everything, and I just thought, could we get a short trip like that and everything? That'd be interesting. But just the way
a villain-led short trip. Well, they did the Master.
Well, I mean, we've had the Master and Rufus Hound's meddling monk.
Yeah.
So,
win planets and influence people.
Yeah. It's not out of the realms of possibility, so that could be interesting. But just the way that they literally just had the aesthetic and everything, all the bits flowing around the space, just the show as well as tell and everything, and just that head coming towards and the vortex in the eye and everything, it's just like, okay, that's
that worked really well.
That is the director of photography having fun, and I love it when they get to do that.
He is an interesting thing. Anyways. Here's an interesting thing that someone just pointed out on Facebook.
Oh.
That on one of the screen grabs from the next time, it looks like the little thing that has, you know, in the 13th Doctor reveal?
Yes.
That little stand with the key in it?
Yes.
It looks like that.
Oh.
Someone's pointed that out. Says that looks fun. Maybe there is some truth. I don't know.
Could
so,
be.
Yes, that could it's be all connected. Interesting everything. But yes. But going back onto that and everything, the big reveal at the end and everything, which was this place that they were trying to get through, this big portal and everything, and that ended up being revealed to be Gallifrey. And it's just like, the implications that could provide and everything. Because if that was where everybody was escaping to, then the possible implication being that the Time Lords actually come from humans?
The last of humanity turning into Time Lord. I mean, it's a hell of a way for the show to go.
Yes, it is. It is indeed, and everything that could be interesting.
But going back to saving the day in Day of the Doctor and what they said in Series 9 about Gallifrey. Gallifrey is at the end of the universe anyway, for its own sake. And I don't think it's in a pocket universe anymore, is it? It was just put at the end of the universe.
Yeah, it was in its pocket universe. Then it just got put at the end.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe this is set at the end of the. I don't think it will be, because I mean, the last of humanity has happened several times before in Doctor Who. That they're all off on the arcs on the other space, on the other sides of the universe. They're all having the arc and the arc in space and Starship UK and that one from Smile.
The end of the world.
The end of the world again. So yeah, we never humanity never dies, but I mean the last of humanity escaping through a wibbly portal to Gallifrey. I mean, it's fascinating to try and think where they're going with it.
Well, I mean, with Galsway, we've another.
That's probably the thing that drove Sacha Dhawan mad.
Yeah.
What, they found out they were all human.
If it may be.
Well, I mean, instead with Galsway, the old guy the that was there who was ferrying people human. Across and everything, he had mentioned that he hadn't seen it like that before. Now, I don't know whether he means that he hadn't seen
the show did that, because it's a hell of a lot to change.
Yeah, well, with the Galsway, I'm not 100% sure if what he meant was that he hadn't seen Gallifrey before or he hadn't seen it destroyed before. It's something that's left as a question until next week.
Oh, episode. True. So, he said he's not seen it like that before, hasn't he?
And one other thing I noticed and everything, the haze that they had with regards to the portal, it was very much matching the colour scheme with regards to all the visions and the dreams and the recollections that the Doctor had of the Timeless Child back when it was revealed in episode 2 and then the flashback in episode 7 and everything. It's just that there was this kind of haze, this haze with regards to it and everything. And it just looked like, I just noticed, I don't know if this means that I'm just looking at other things stupidly or not or anything, or I'm just focusing on just tiny inconsequential things, but
it's just the editor's favorite
color. It looked like
it
had that same color scheme. Yeah, possibly. Possibly, yeah. But yes, with regards to that,
they're going back to Gallifrey next episode. The Cybermen are going to Gallifrey. So it's gonna be weird to figure out, and I think ultimately that's what might let this episode down. In that, if it was just all set up and nothing is really happening, as much as I enjoy watching it and the Cybermen were scary, it felt very part one.
That's the thing with two-parters, isn't it?
Whereas with Spyfall. It kind of kept moving a bit more. It was a bit busier, especially with the Master reveal. And then you had... first off, just the reveal that Sacha Dhawan was in it, even before he was playing the Master. That was unexpected and nice to have. And so now, I don't know. It all depends on the second part, whether or not I can judge this one.
Yeah, with regards to that, that's absolutely. That's definitely going to be one that, I mean, we've said before with regards to Fugitive of the Jadoon and Haunting of Illidiati that we would we gave them high stuff, but we had to see on how it sticks the landing and everything. This is one whereby it's not going to be something that we're going to be able to give a score to because we need to see what happens next week and everything, so that'll be interesting.
And Doctor Who has a history of not sticking the landing.
Indeedy.
No. It's like Series 9. I didn't mind Series 9 ultimately, but the finale sort of spoiled it.
Yeah, I don't care for Hellbent at all.
No, I don't like Hellbent. Yeah. I don't really think much of Heaven Sent, if I'm honest. It felt especially in it. I enjoyed it at the time. I suppose I thought, it's a brilliant performance, but ultimately I thought it was a pretentious way of the Doctor just saying, I don't know the answer. He spent 2 billion years, because it didn't amount to anything. That's the thing. The whole thing didn't really amount to anything.
That's how it is. I've become less fond of it as the years have gone on. Initially I thought, that's great, but I'm a bit bored by it because there's not much happening.
But it has that effect, though. It's like part, like you say, we should hold our reservations until part two comes out. Part two can easily ruin part one.
Well, I mean, with regards to it, Hellbent, I enjoy the first half of Hellbent because you have all the stuff on Gallifrey. You just literally have the Doctor just literally being grumpy McGrump pants and everything, and just literally doing everything apart from saying "fuck you" to Rassilon and everything. I like that. And then he plucks Clara out. The first bit and the explanation, everything is all good. And then when they run off, it just all goes downhill. Literally, the moment that they run off, it just goes downhill.
Having said that, the scene with him in the desert fighting off against the army, I liked that. That was good. Donald Sumpter was great as Rassilon.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, a Doctor Who two-parters with all of them, apart from maybe the Series 5 finale and the Series 12 opener, I prefer Part 1 to Part 2. So as someone for this one who went, that was all right, I want to see what happens next, I'm not holding out massively high hopes for sticking the landing. I'm so ready to be surprised. And I could well be sat here in a week going, that was amazing, best series ever, give it all the awards. But I'm not expecting to be. As much as I've loved the series so far, I'm one of those that has turned around on the series, didn't care for Series 11, has really enjoyed Series 12. I think the sticking the landing is a much trickier job to pull off.
Yeah, well, with regards to that, like you've said and everything, it's just it's hard to do a part two and everything, and that's something that all of the showrunners have proven and everything. So this isn't going to be something with regards to just Chibnall itself and everything, despite what many people next week, if it does not stick the landing, are going to try and claim and everything. But as they do. But yeah, with regards to it, it's just... how well is he able to handle it within his own script and everything? Because if he can manage something that is in some way decent and does manage it and everything, I'll be happy. But track records even before him just don't really hold out hope.
And even for him, this episode was so laden with the Chibnall cliches. I mean, that scene where the companions were split up, each giving their own odd little bit of sci-fi exposition. What does this machine do, Yaz? Well, it does this and this and this. What does this machine do, Graham? It does this and this and this. What does this machine do, Ryan? What was that? Why was that scene included? That should have been cut out in the first draft.
Yeah, with the Gunstar, I just found it interesting because just going like, oh, Graham's giving the exposition instead of the Doctor this week. That's actually interesting. I don't know if it's good or not, but it's interesting.
I didn't mind that bit because we didn't have any idea what those devices actually were. And it was...
Golden rule of television, show, don't tell. Show Ryan switching the thing on and a force field appears. Show Graham switching a thing on Cybermen heads blow up because of emotions. It's standing there and having us tell us what the machines were going to do, and then the Cybermen coming along and blowing them up anyway, and we never see the machines working. Massive misstep.
I think it's given. I think it's written because they knew it was never going. It was just going to be destroyed before it would actually clearly be shown what it's.
That's.
So I can forgive it in this case. But if, for example, it did do exactly what you say, then yeah, I find the exposition pointless. Mm. But given that we didn't even get a chance, because don't worry, I've got my big gun. I'm gonna be. You know, it works for me for that in that regard. Mm. But not yet. But I do. Yeah, I do get your point.
I think it also kind of trips up the Doctor as well, because the Doctor's come along. I can save the day. I've got all these machines. Here's what they're gonna do, and they're all gone. They're all blown. I mean, if that perhaps had been played a bit more, either more comedy or more serious, it needed to go either way. It needed to show the Doctor watching each one blow up and going, oh shit, oh, I've lost that one as well, bugger, I'm completely lost. Needed that empty. I just feel that it needed another draft of the script, as so many Chris Chibnall things do. It needed tightening up. It needed the Moffat or Rusty Davis level of snappy dialogue. Just needed something more.
Well, with regards to it, like I said, Chris has one more episode to try and see if he's able to do better with regards to that, especially with what he's trying to deliver. One last thing to speak about then, which is something that we've surprisingly managed to avoid up until now and everything, which I don't know if this means it's good or bad or anything, but the Ireland subplot.
Are you happy that Doctor Who's finally gone to Ireland?
Yeah, let me just make something quite clear. I do not care what you think about this subplot, whether you like it or hate it. I am so happy that Ireland finally has representation in
if
the
they
actual...
don't do that Gallifrey in Ireland next week, they are missing a massive opportunity. They've done it
I know.
So many times now.
And that's literally the near only representation we've had in the series proper. Mm. Now we've actually got a proper Irish story and everything. And just for clarification and everything, Garda, that's the Irish police. That is the Irish police. For anybody who is wondering, what the hell is that and everything? Yeah. Oh, is that the police and everything? Yes, that is what we call the police. And it is a much better name. Mm-hmm. I am going to die on that hill.
Yeah. Well, is it Celtic word?
Potentially and everything. I'm not really sure. I'm gonna actually have to look up the name of that. But it also ties back to an actual guard. They are the guardians of the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with the guards, that would be it and everything. But yeah, that Irish subplot, which we initially thought was going to be the Irish troubles and everything. Which would have been interesting.
I tweeted you that, didn't I? Saying that it was going to be something to do with the Civil War or the Troubles.
Yeah.
But it looked a bit like an Irish police uniform. And it was. Yeah.
I kept trying to recognise which one of them was the... I thought this is the backstory of the Lone Sideman. But
that's what I thought.
Is it him?
As well.
Is it Brendan?
Yeah.
Is it... And then I was like, oh no, then it's not Brendan at all. He's now old. And then these two are still the same age they were.
Yeah, and then just that little bit at the
but
end.
But he's also apparently Captain Jack, because he got shot and fell off the cliff and came back to life.
I was thinking that. Mm. I was thinking, this can't be the origin of Captain Jack. We know the origin of Captain Jack's powers.
Unless with regards to what Rose did and everything, that she basically made sure all throughout time... He could not die, and that was just.
He never
that
died.
Was just.
Yeah. That, I think that would be too. That'd be too heavy on knowing if you actually watched
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's
getting people to watch a show from a decade ago that the audience won't have remembered.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of Jack's offspring. I don't.
Could
know.
Potentially. I've seen that jump about on Twitter over the last hour or so.
Which is what. Mm.
Jack went to 1950s Ireland and conceives a child and buggers off.
Good place to do it.
Or just sends him there to be safe.
Yeah.
And then that would explain why he goes to the doctor. Don't give the Lone Sideman what he wants, or something like that. He's got a personal stake in it. I don't know.
That could potentially be it and everything. But just it's just something that led to another terrifying moment, which was literally their headset being put on and it was looking like going full on Winter Soldier memory wipe and everything. I was just there going, okay, that is flipping chilling.
See, you know, my first thought when I saw that. Because it happened when he retired from the job that he was doing, is that that's Torchwood. That's an early version of the Torchwood, getting your memory wiped when you leave.
Mm. That could potentially be it and everything.
Or
but...
it's the Men in Black.
Yes, essentially. That could potentially be it. But then just the thing of the father and then the guard that found him there just being the same and everything. Just they're thinking, wait, what the hell is happening with this and everything? So it's... something that's being set up that's heavily going to happen with regards to the next episode. I mean, I don't know if this is going to make any sense at all, but it felt like the stuff with Will in the first series of his Dark Materials. Because, you know, the kid in our real world with his mum that's getting, you know, hounded by your one with the snake. Yeah, that is something that actually happens in the second book. And they brought it in early and everything in order to just sort of build it up.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just there thinking, are we having something similar with this? This is just something that's a build up that when we see it in the next episode, it isn't something that's going to be coming completely out of left field like
I definitely preferred seeing it gradually in this episode to just having the first half of next episode being this story.
Yeah.
All set
because
with
regards,
as much as I'm confused, I think it's a nice way of doing it. Whatever the answer's going to be, I mean, it didn't even set up in this episode. It ended with him having his mind zapped, didn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, with regards to it, it means that we got a second cliffhanger. What the hell is happening with this? So yeah. With Gosford. And yes, I have a vested interest in it because I want to see my lovely Irish Brennan find out what the hell's happened to him.
What's happened to Brendan?
Yeah, what's happened to my lovely Irish baby?
Yeah, I mean,
we finally got some Irish representation on the show.
Yeah, some Irish character. What it could be is like where in series 7 when Oswin was turned into a Dalek and she was picturing herself as human living a normal life. Maybe someone, whoever gets converted, is dreaming of this other life where they're an Irish police officer in the 1950s.
Potentially, which would be nice. I can imagine worse scenarios.
Incidentally, is O'Brien an Irish surname?
Yes.
So that could be Graham.
Could potentially. But
I'm just having a look at it. But he grows older though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does grow.
He does,
older.
He grows old and retires. And yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like I said, like
no,
I said,
I know what
just...
it is. I know what it is. Have you seen Rick and Morty?
A bit.
Yeah.
It's that video game, Roy. where he lives out his normal life and then dies by some carpets falling on him. Wakes up in the arcade club. You live to the age of 67.
Basically...
That's what the Cybermen put you through.
Basically, total immersion video game.
or that from Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
It could be somebody having this fantasy as they're being converted into a Cyberman.
Well, I mean, with regards to it, it's just, well, we now have a B-plot that's also going on at the same time and everything, which I thought was actually rather nice, very nicely shot, styled like what someone described as an ITV3 drama, and I love that description and everything. But it's just like we now have two plots that are going forward into the episode and everything that are properly interwoven and everything. Like, we don't know how they're connected yet, but just the cutting back and forth and everything, they're just nicely interwoven like that. So it's going to be interesting where it goes and everything. But yeah,
and I'm immensely confused by both of them.
Indeed. But yeah, next week it all ends and we are hopefully going to be getting a lot of answers. We're definitely not going to be getting all of them because that would be making too much sense. And giving us nothing to look towards. But yeah, with regards to it, we have one last episode left. Anybody have any predictions as to what we're going to see?
Oh, I haven't got a clue.
I reckon Bradley's going to... I think Graham's exit will be settling with a new life with Julie Graham.
Yeah.
Definitely, all the companions are going to go through some way or another.
See, I think that because of the Jack setup earlier in the series, all the companions leave at the end of this one. And then Jack is the companion for the 2020 special. And then start series 13 fresh.
Could potentially
I mean, that's what I would do. I think we said this when we had Sophie on the podcast, Sophie Isles, how we would do the companion exits. I'd have Graham... I'd have them come to terms with the fact that they don't need the TARDIS anymore. I'd have Graham realise that he doesn't need to distract himself from the grief anymore, and I'd just have them leave happily and normally. I wouldn't kill them off, as much as I don't particularly care for Ryan. I wouldn't kill him off. I'd just have them go home or just go on a new adventure away from the Doctor. Don't turn them into
basically
Cybermen. Don't have them shot by anyone. Just give them an ending. Just send them away.
Basically, a la Tegan, just realize that they don't need it anymore.
Do a Tegan.
It's stopped being fun.
Yeah, and I think now this Doctor is turning a bit more macabre and he's shouting at them and getting angry. They could realize that they don't want to travel with the Doctor anymore. And
With regards to it, that would be an interesting way to go for it. There wouldn't really be much that I could add to it or what I could see from that and everything. The only other thing I could go for would just be going down that macabre route and having either Graham or Ryan getting converted, and then the other one just realizing that, just going home, just realizing that their life's gone.
Yeah. Mm. Which one would you leave? You've got to pick one. Which do you keep alive? It's got to be Graham, isn't it?
Yeah.
Graham,
You can't kill Bradders. We'd just be all just distraught if they did.
It's that bit where he says, "I'm the most normal bloke you're ever gonna meet." I laughed at that. Like,
doing the Cockney rhyming slang with Julie Graham, I laughed.
Butchers Hook. Yeah, because I was just there thinking, oh, that's actually where the butchers come from, because I knew that butchers was having a look at everything, but I just realised, oh yeah, the rhyming slang, that just makes a hell of a lot more sense now and everything. It's just I didn't realise hook is just that. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I don't get that just comes to you and then.
Well, you're Irish. You've not grown up with it.
I'll be honest, I never knew what I always heard. I've used the thing, just have a butchers, but I've never actually realised the actual definition of it until now.
Well, I mean, with regards to it, with me, it would be let's have a look, see, let's have a peek, let's have a gander.
I say have a gander a lot. I say that a lot.
But yeah, just with regards to it, then, given that the next week's episode is titled "The Timeless Children," and everything, and that they have confirmed there is going to be some answer with regards to Ruth's doctor and everything. Any ideas on how they're going to explain it?
Right, my final prediction is she's a parallel doctor. I think that it's a parallel doctor and a parallel master. That's my. I know that they've said that they're not. Chibnall's done an interview to say they're not, but showrunners have lied before to throw us off the scent.
Moffat.
And I think anything else, I wouldn't care for it. I think anything else pre-Hartnell,
I think it would really
season 6B or whatever, I think would just undercut so much work that they've tried to put in.
Yeah, I think it would ruin it would really undermine the whole point of William Hartnell's Doctor and everything since if they try to do any previous ones before.
So that's I believer in the theory that the Doctor is a re-loomed version of the Other, the original Time Lord creator, but I don't think that the Other was pretending they were a Doctor and going around in a police box and wearing glasses and being the Doctor. I wouldn't buy into that. If it had just been another Time Lord that the Doctor recognised, and if Joe Martin was just playing another random Time Lord, then I could say that's the Other and they're a previous incarnation of the Doctor or whatever. But being the Doctor and having that police box TARDIS, it's got to be parallel.
It's got to be something like, almost like a time forgotten sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like they've really changed the timeline, this is what would have happened, or something like that. So, yeah.
Or she's just the next one. She's just the 14th, and she's having a bit of amnesia.
And she'd be very good at it. In fact, if she was the next one, I'd be saying, hurry the fuck
up. Absolutely.
We need you.
We'd be happy to put Adrian Lester on the back burner if we got Joe Martin.
Yeah, for Joe Martin.
Yeah.
I'll relinquish it this one time. Adrian, you better be in the pipeline next.
Adrian's name better be down for number 15, otherwise we riot. Anyways, with regards to that, I'm currently getting messages that I'm waking up my little baby nephew and everything, so we're going to wrap this up very quickly. Excited for episode 10?
I think so.
A little bit. This was the first episode I watched purposely for this podcast. I've watched it live, which I haven't really done since Spyfall Part 1.
You've added to the official viewing figures.
I know.
Huzzah!
I haven't, for the thing. I've been either I've still not seen Can You Hear Me, though. And
I mean, I don't think there's any big story points in it. It was an enjoyable episode, but I don't think it's not plot heavy.
And a really, really weird ending. I've seen that bit. Yeah. But we'll go with that. That'll open a whole can of worms there. But the one thing I do think that...
So good.
So the one thing that I think they need to do, and I think that what they've actually proven, is that the problem I found with... Fugitive of Jadoon just felt like it was like a sudden slap in the face of a plot twist, and then nothing happened with at all. And it just shows the episodic, the single episodes don't work anymore. I kind of feel like we now need to have it lead directly. You know, it needs to be a journey now.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work anymore. Because that's the reason why, you know, I've not bothered to watch Can You Hear Me, because I know it's a single episode. You know, I would happily have ignored Praxeus if I had any pre-warning it was shit. But you know you don't have to tune in for them. That's why I only tuned into the haunting of Thingy, because it turned out halfway through it was building up to this finale, all out of the blue.
See, that's it. And if you're not getting invested in the era, then you can skip the in between ones. And I can entirely see the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, essentially.
And it's a shame. I think that. Sorry, go on.
Sorry. Essentially, what you're saying is that Chibnall needs to take a more Broadchurch style aspect to it and everything, as in make it a big long arc, make it interconnected and everything, and just go down that route.
Well, I sort of think they follow the same sort of format that Big Finish do with, like, their Doom Coalition or Ravenous box sets. You know, like, the opening of Ravenous is that the Doctor... It starts off with Doctor and Liv trying to find Helen and the Eleven. Mm-hmm. And they end up coming across a sort of sideways trip, you know, and it just seems to feel like it's a... Then the next episode would be... continuing on soon after that. You know, it feels like the same journey.
Yeah, so instead of deliberately avoiding the main plot, as this TARDIS team have done, they're trying to do the main plot but are being distracted from it.
Yeah, I think that works a lot better. You know, as long as there's an overarching thing. Like, I would have loved to have seen Graham's cancer thing come up in a few more episodes, you know, like his worry about it. And then you would have that scene... which didn't land very well. I think it was very poorly executed. Either it was poorly written or poorly performed, if that wasn't the intention that it was meant to do. It would have come across a bit better, because then in the following episode, they might have a scene where they talk about TARDIS conversations. And, you know, it just feels... It has to feel like you're following a same story, even if they go and say, right, well, this episode is a... single episode in its own right, but it's still connected in some way. Otherwise, you're just not interested. I could happily skip Praxeus and whatnot, and it still wouldn't make a ton of difference.
Right, well, with regards to that then, we'll leave it there, but one last thing before we go. We have the next question in our competition. Yes, which I've just written up here and everything about an hour ago and everything. So,
you've thought of a question, have you?
Yes, I have thought of a question and everything. And actually, Chris and everything, if you're not mindful for spoilers and everything, it is something with regards to Can You Hear Me and everything. So, with regards to it, it may interest you with regards to it, I don't know. But anyways, this is what we're doing the question on. So, yes, we are continuing. We are continuing with question number 5 of our competition, where you can win the Series 12 Amazon-exclusive Steelbook of Doctor Who. Yes, indeed. So, like I said, you just need to give us all the answers to all the questions that we're doing. The last one will be next week, and that's when everything officially opens. The floodgates will be pouring in. All 2 of our listeners will be sending stuff in. So,
yeah, both of them.
Yes, with regards to that. So, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get something in. But yes, once we've answered asked the final question next week,
it's frozen in mind.
All you just have to do is send in all of your answers along with your name and a social media handle we can contact you
to get
your details to terrorofthetweeters@gmail.com. We will be closing entries on Friday, the 6th of March at 11:59 p.m. and everything. And then we are going to be announcing the winner live on our big mega finale podcast with Matthew Toffolo. Yes, we have Matthew Toffolo.
Oh.
I can reveal that.
We're announcing the guests in the episode now. That's a new thing.
Yes, well, with regards to it, I'm after having a chat with all of them and everything, and they all say they're ready, so with regards to that.
Have you confirmed next week?
Yes, I'll get on to that in two ticks. But yes, question number 5. Can You Hear Me made passing references to other deity-like entities in the Hooniverse, such as the Celestial Toymaker, the White and Black Guardians, and the Eternals. But which Fifth Doctor story has been the Eternals' sole appearance on TV so far? Which Fifth Doctor story has been the sole appearance of the Eternals on TV so far? So with regards to, that, like I said, send your answer to the email address along with your contact details, and you could get that steelbook, which I am paying for out of my own pocket. I'm literally having to do budgets over the last 2 days to make sure I get everything. Because I'm getting a lot of vinyls. Huh. Yes, because, I mean, getting back to His Dark Materials for a moment, they announced vinyls of the radio series, and I'm just there going, they look so pretty, I want. And they're literally...
Oh, is that Paradise of Death and Ghost of
Eat? Heck, yeah.
Those as well, and they're doing vinyls of the radio series of His Dark Materials. And it's just they're going, they're shiny, I want, give me £120! Fine. I'm a sucker for vinyls.
I got given a complimentary Evil of the Daleks one. For John Coleshaw calling me up and doing that little announcement.
Ah, yes, I remember that.
So they said, thanks, they loved, Chris, that was great. They'd love to send you a copy, would you like one? Okay, yeah, okay. I've not got a vinyl player, so it's literally just sitting there and it's polythene. but it's nice to have it.
Oh,
it's,
and it'll be nice to sell it for £400.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I literally found one of the limited edition ones on eBay for literally that price and everything. It was just like, nope, I'm fine with the solid color one I have. I don't need the Scaro Swirl one. Not for that price, anyway. I'm happy that I'm now pre-ordering them rather than ordering them afterwards. With regards to that then... Yeah, that's it. Nothing else much to do now except for the last long, long wait until next week. So, with regards to that then, yep, so hopefully next week we're going to have both of the parts and everything all fully done up, if I can remember to actually message the guest about it. Our guest next week is set to be, tying back to what one of the other podcasts that Chris is doing, Martin Havel from Bad Wolf.
Yeah, I think our schedules are too busy, so we're going to have to do a bumper one after the finale comes out.
Mm. So I do apologize for that.
Yeah, we're keeping Martin busy for you.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So yes, Martin will be joining us for a discussion before and after of the finale episode, The Timeless Children, and then the week after, where we're looking back at the series completely, and then looking forward to what could potentially come, we will have one third of the review of Death, Matthew Toffolo. So that is going to be some. That is going to be fun. But with regards to that then, yep, that's us done for today. The long, long, long wait begins. Chris, Matt, thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for putting up with this, Chris.
That's all right.
Like I said, all of Chris's work will be available in the description. Beyond then, the countdown begins to the reveal of the Timeless Children. Are our brains going to explode? We'll have to wait and see. Until then. Ta-ta.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Doctor Who, Terror of the Tweeters, Ascension of the Cybermen, recorded on the 23rd of February, 2020. Your hosts were John Ryan and Matthew Ross, and our guest host was Christopher Walker Thompson. More of Chris's work can be found in the description. The The theme music was the remix theme from Doctor Who Confidential, composed by Ron Rayner, realised by Delay Derbyshire, and arranged by Mike Westergaard. Our Pursuit was composed by Kevin McLeod and is used under a Creative Commons licence. Any and all copyrighted material is the registered property of their respective owners, utilised under the Fair Use Agreement, and no infringement is intended.